Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, April 2nd, and we're back on the air.
We are.
Like we like to be.
Do you play any April Fool's jokes on anyone?
I did not, no. That's I even bummer. Forgot it was April Fool's.
I did too. I was at the grocery store and my friend called me and told me this elaborate story. Uh-huh. And somehow he like, I was like half paying attention because I'm checking out my groceries. And he said April Fool's like three times and my brain didn't even
register.
I was like, I can't believe that happened. And he was like, it's April Fool's, Jen. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. You're like, what did I agree with?
Right. It was a good story. It was a really good one.
Yeah. No, I can't remember the last time I pulled, something on somebody, you know?
Yeah.
I've never been that type of a guy, you know, because I don't want people to be misled or whatever, you know?
That's very kind.
But, you know, I mean, it's funny when people do that.
Yeah, totally. I did it to my mom once. I ran in the house screaming. I was like, you have to come outside. You have to come outside. And she came running outside and she was like, what? What is it? I was like, nothing. I never saw her jump up so fast. It was good.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing happened.
Nothing.
Yeah. It's funny. We have a call coming in. I don't know why the guest is supposed to call in at 9:15. So I hope they're listening and we'll call back then.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I'm not ready for the guest yet. I want to introduce the show. We'll talk about a few things. And so how are you doing this morning?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Everything's dandy?
Everything's dandy. I woke up with enough time to make some breakfast and feed the cats and do some dishes and unload the dishwasher, which is...
Wow, that's a big deal, right?
It was a big deal, yeah. I was like, look at me go. Look at me go.
Yeah. That's good. That's commendable, you know?
Thank you.
To do the dishes sometimes.
You know?
It's good every once in a while, right?
Right?
Yeah.
I know. My roommate does French pâtissier as like a hobby. It's not pretentious or anything. It's like very fancy French desserts.
Oh, okay.
And so he's been making a sourdough starter to make some like homemade baked loaves of bread. And he kind of like overdid it with the starter. He just kept putting it off. So it had some gnats in it. So now we have like all these gnats flying around our apartment. And so I had to put a trap out for them last night, which is just like apple cider vinegar in this like little tiny ramekin with like a lid on it.
Yeah.
And they jump into it and leap to their deaths. But I've just been psychotically making sure every dish is completely done. And
yeah, yeah.
It's the worst. You're just trying to like eat breakfast and there's one just... You could be across the room from where they generally hang out, and there comes one just slowly swirling towards you, right in your face while you're trying to eat, or when you're talking, it's like right up to your mouth. I'm like, go away.
Wow. I know, that's pretty shitty, man.
They stress me out so much.
I know, I know. The same with ants, you know, when you get ants and shit, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty irritating, too.
Definitely. I think bees are really cute, but bees also annoy me because they fly like very bobbly. You know, I'm like, just fly straight. Like, I never know where you're going. You just can't tell.
Complain about bees.
Yeah.
You can lodge in a complaint, I guess, you know.
Maybe.
And ask bees to fly a little smoother.
Definitely.
Straight lines.
Like, excuse me.
Straight lines.
Just slip a note into the next hive I see. Can you just please? How's your morning going?
My morning is, let's see, how's it going? It's going fine. I haven't had a chance to get irritated yet.
That's great.
But not that I do, but nothing really has happened yet, so
excellent.
I'm okay.
As long as there's no tech irritation.
Exactly, you know?
Yeah.
And getting ready for the weekend. Do you have any big plans for the weekend? Going to the beach or something? Or
I don't like to do the beach on the weekends. There's too many people.
That's true.
You know, I like to go on like Monday.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, you know? And it's gotten really bad. I mean, everybody wants to go out now and stuff, so.
I know.
You know, it's like, where do you go where there's no traffic?
Traffic has been really intense all week coming here because I come from all the way across town. But today, right, traffic was really smooth.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. Well, Friday is usually like that, I think, right?
I hope
the
so.
The lighter.
I hope.
Yeah. Maybe people went out of town because of the holiday.
Oh, that's true. I like never eat dairy, but when it's Easter time, I definitely eat Cadbury caramel eggs.
Yeah, you
times.
Like those?
Yeah. I'm like, I always have to have a couple.
Yeah, but how much dairy does that have?
Enough that it hurts my stomach.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Definitely. Everyone I know who has like a dairy allergy, they like eat stuff anyway and just deal with the consequences.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? I know. Some food is really good, you know?
Sometimes.
What
you
are you going to do?
And look, like being vegan, like I'm not ever like pushy about it. I always, when I make food at home, I'm always like, hey, try this, try that. But I'm never going to push it on anyone.
Right.
But that being said, people who are not vegan are constantly pushing their beliefs on what veganism should be on me. Like people are like, you're vegan, you can't eat that. And I'm like, look, it's a lifestyle, not a life sentence. If I'm vegan 98% of the time and I eat a Cadbury egg on Easter,
right,
I'm not tearing myself up about that.
Right.
You know, like I don't agree with the dairy industry. No, but like I'm also just like a human being that has like old habits, that has nostalgic habits. Like Cadbury right. eggs are really nostalgic for me and I'm going to eat them once a year, you know? And people just really, people who aren't vegan have a really big problem with it.
Really?
Yeah.
With a Cadbury?
With, I mean, anytime I've
taken a bite. That vegan.
Yeah. I mean, I won't eat meat, but if I do take a bite of something that has dairy, everyone's like, you can't eat that.
Right.
I'm like, come on.
Maybe they're irritated with the veganism thing. You know?
Yeah, but like, if they're not eating it, why are they annoyed?
Exactly. Yeah, why would you care, you know, what
totally.
Other people eat?
Yeah.
I know. Did I tell you my daughter was in the hospital for kidney stones?
You did. She had that surgery. How's it going?
Yeah, she had 2 surgeries in 4 days.
Oh, my God.
I know, man. That's terrible, you know? And she still has a lot of them in there.
Yeah.
She's got several stones in there, so she's going to have to go back. But there were a couple that were lodged, and that's like, I can't even imagine how painful that must be, you know? So she's back home. She's okay. And
have you popped by to see her?
Yeah, of course. Even in the hospital, they let me in, believe it or not. They're letting, like, at least this hospital, 1 visitor a day, you know, for each patient. So that's better than nothing.
That is better than nothing.
You know,
all right, that's a good sign.
Yeah, you know, so, yeah, that they're opening up. But they gave me they made me wait for a while, which was irritating, but people were coming in all the time, and everybody had a different thing they needed to do, you know.
Sure. I'm glad you got to go in and be with her.
Yeah, I know, because she was getting bored.
Have you been sending her Postmates
and stuff? I know, she hated the food there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Man, I hate hospitals, you know.
The worst.
I don't wish it on anybody, really.
A couple times that I've been in the hospital, I've actually been like, vacation. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're really stressed out, then the hospital would be.
Yeah, you're like, I have no choice but to relax.
Right.
And those like really like rough, not fuzzy, soft blankets at all, I kind of like them. They're like weirdly comforting to me.
Really?
It's like a gauze blanket. I like those. I found one once when I was living in Washington Heights, and I was like, this is like a hospital blanket. It was like $5, and I bought it.
Jeez.
It's so comfortable.
The things you like are unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow, a hospital blanket. Never thought of that.
It's so good.
Right?
I love it. It's just like, you know, sometimes you're too hot to wear a real blanket, so you have a sheet on, but then the sheet, there's like too much breeze with the sheet.
Right.
A hospital blanket is like right in between a sheet and a blanket. It's just light enough to keep you cool and just warm enough to stop the breeze.
I see.
It's perfect.
Okay, well, thanks for educating us on that. I know, a sheet to me is too light. I need some weight on
some
me,
weight,
you know?
Yeah, definitely. Hospital blanket.
Okay, well, I don't remember what it was like, but okay.
Wonderful.
If you say so.
It's what dreams are made of.
Wow, that's a little going too far there.
I always had great night's sleeps with that thing.
Yeah.
It was great.
You should definitely get one then if you like them that much.
I should have my mom mail me the one I have at home.
Yeah.
It's a great blanket.
Well, you can't buy one here?
I mean.
Send one.
Yeah. I mean, I already have one there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Might cost more to ship it, though, than to buy one.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
It's bulky.
I know.
Oh, well.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. So my friend who got vaccinated, fully vaccinated as of like a month and a half ago in New York, she got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. She tested positive for COVID the other day.
Wow.
Yeah, she called me right when I left here on Wednesday.
That's terrible.
Yeah, she was like, I've been feeling like I have a cold, this and that. And then she lost her, she had been going out for her birthday. She did a bunch of restaurant hopping and stuff like that.
Unbelievable.
Things are back open in New York pretty much.
Yeah.
And so it was her birthday and she celebrated with people, and I don't know how many people she saw. I know it was more than a couple, but right. Somewhere down the line, she picked something up, and then she thought it was just a cold, and then she lost her sense of taste. Jeez. And smell, and was like,
I know, man. Damn. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
So that one's not as effective as the other ones?
Johnson & Johnson is 66%, I think.
It's I saw something in the 70s. But
it's
still.
66 or 72. Mm. It's one of the two.
Okay.
Let's see.
I think 75 or something. But yeah, but that still is not as accurate as or as reliable as 95%.
Sure.
Right.
Definitely.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder how the other ones are working, you know, if people are getting COVID from those two.
It says the J&J vaccine has 66.3% effectiveness overall and 74.4% effectiveness in the United States.
Oh, okay. That still leaves a quarter of the people without protection.
Definitely.
Wow. Why would they even bother?
That's what I said. I had this whole debate with my roommate about this last night. I'm like, why? Why would you bother? Why would they even put that on the market when their competitor is 20, 25% higher than that?
Right.
What's the point?
I don't know. Maybe they're relying on the fact that some people prefer just one shot, but apparently you're taking a chance, you know?
Yeah, but like, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, and they're already saying that they're going to be putting out boosters soon because the vaccines are only protecting you for 6 months.
Really? That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the thing is, my whole argument behind all of it is that it's not just that it's going to protect you for 6 months. That's on average. Some people are going to cycle it out quicker and some people are going to cycle it out longer. So, you know, I just foresee the arguments coming of like, when is it safe to not wear a mask anymore? Like, I just think we're all going to be wearing masks for a long time. And I think the mask debate is only going to get like, become more of a shit show.
Right.
Because
it will. It will. People are fucking sick of it. You know, and I don't know. I never heard of that one before, though, that it's only effective for like 6 months or something.
Yeah, they're releasing boosters in the next couple of months.
Wow. There's still so many people haven't been vaccinated yet.
Yeah.
And already they're coming up with boosters and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, yesterday they opened. They opened up like vaccines for a lot more people.
Yeah.
And I went by Pierce College here and the lines were like, I mean, they were blocking streets, you know, like main streets. And I can't imagine sitting in the car like this for, I don't know how long you must be sitting there, an hour maybe before you get to the
Dodger Stadium when they were doing COVID testing. Uh-huh. I waited in line for 2.5 hours once and didn't even reach the gate. I was like, I have to pee.
Wow.
And I got out of line and left.
Yeah.
You know, but if you have Kaiser, my roommate,
I do.
He's getting his vaccine through Kaiser.
Yeah. And there you don't have to wait, right?
Yeah. So I would just set that up.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. Good thing, man. I just don't want to have to sit in the car for so many hours, it seems like. I can't imagine.
No, you know.
I know, but people are, I guess, anxious to get it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Life has changed completely, you know, and I'm really sick of it already.
I know.
I'm not the only one, clearly, but how much can you take of this, you know? I mean, I just wish we could go back to just being ourselves, you know? I mean, this is more than just kept you at home. It's divided us, you know? It's separated people.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do anything. You can't, go on new dates because you can't pick up anybody anywhere. Because even if you go out, people have masks. You don't know what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are afraid of being around people they don't know, they haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
You know,
it's also a trust issue in responsible. And then it turns out that they've been out on dates that week or hooked up with people or, you know, were unmasked with people. And the thing is, you can't trust where everyone's been. And not because they're a bad person and they're lying about it, but not everybody has the same level of awareness of contamination. Like, I have an extremely high awareness of contamination just because that's how I was raised. Whereas somebody else might not. You know, like when I would go out with a woman I worked for, she would come home from the store and not wash her hands right away.
Jeez, yeah.
And for me, that's like second nature, even before the pandemic.
Wow. Caller. Well, we'll continue with that after the caller. The caller's calling in now and at the right time. And so we better just take the call.
Don't shame them.
Good morning. This is Sam and Jen. You're on the air. Go ahead, please. Hello.
Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Jen. How
are
you?
Good morning. Excellent. How are you?
Is this Matt? Thank you so much for calling in. I did notice you called at the top of the hour, but we couldn't take the call yet. And I'm glad you called back now. And where are you calling us from today?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm calling from Austin, Texas. It's a beautiful day out here. The sun's out. Is it a great day in Los Angeles? The sun's out. Everybody's doing good.
Oh yeah, it's always the same here. You know, it never changes. How's the weather in Austin? That's pretty much the same, right? Always sunny and warm.
It is. It's sunny right now and warm. I mean, we're down in the south, so it's always hot. But no, it's sunny. It's warm. We had a bad freeze storm about a couple of weeks ago, and we had to get through that, and I think everybody was okay, and you know, my family was okay, but everybody's doing good now. You know, everybody's getting back to work and having fun, and it's a great time.
I saw a lot of videos actually on the internet about that freeze that was happening there. People's homes were caving in, flooding, all
crazy,
sorts of stuff.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm glad your family is okay.
Thank you, Jen. Yeah, we all made it. It was fine. I actually went through three or four days without any food because I ran out of food.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So it was something. So my neighbor came over and said, I was outside for a minute, and my neighbor came over and said, "Hey, man, is everything all right?" I said, "Yeah, are you guys doing good?" It was him and his wife. And I told him, I said, I've gone 4 days without food, but I'll make it. And so he came back to the house 10 minutes later, knocked on the door and brought me some food. So I owe him, I gotta give a big shout out. I bought a bottle of wine for him and his wife. So
that's so nice.
Wow, what a situation. You know, who would ever think you'd be stuck at home without food, you know?
Yeah, in 2021.
Yeah, especially in Texas, for of all places, you know.
Yeah, I saw some videos. People were at the grocery stores, all the lights were out, people had flashlights.
It was crazy.
Apocalyptic.
Yeah.
It was crazy, but we got through it.
Yeah. Is Austin where you lived all your life, or did you move from somewhere else?
You know, I was born and raised in Houston, Texas, and I've lived in Austin. It'll be 13 years in October.
Oh.
And, you know, born and raised in Houston. I've always loved movies, going to films and stuff like that. I was an active moviegoer. I would go see them on a regular basis with family and friends. How I got into it, though, my situation might be a little bit different than most. I really grew up a sports kid. I come from a baseball family. My grandfather on my mom's side was drafted to the Detroit Tigers.
Uh-huh.
My older brother played baseball for the University of Texas.
Nice.
And I came through sports. But I always had an appreciation for the arts and for movies and stuff like that. And I always wondered how these things were made. And it wasn't until I got to high school. And I was in English Lit class at Memorial High School in Houston. I was in English Lit class. And then a teacher came up to me and just kind of leaned over for a second. I said, "Hey, what's going on?" And she was like, you know, she put down an A paper on my desk. And she goes, "I think you're doing really well in this class. And I think this is a talent and you should really explore this." Now, at the time, me being a 15, 16-year-old kid, all I cared about was hanging out with girls and playing sports.
Right, so, naturally.
It wasn't until I got to college. I went to Texas Tech University and got my degree in English Lit. And that's when I started to learn about really about writing screenplays, writing scripts and stuff like that. And we were kind of off to the races. And then I actually moved out to Los Angeles after I graduated college, and I was out there for about 2 years and ended up working as show crew for Waterworld for Universal Studios.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, it was fun, Sam. So I did that and then moved back to Texas, went to Austin and, you know, started working on independent films here and wrote my own scripts and got some of those produced. And it's been quite a ride. It's been fun.
Very nice. I see you're working on an app now that has to do with writing screenplays. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. I'm very excited about that. We're in the we're still in the early process of it. I'm still typing out the introductions and how to, you know, how to write a screenplay and how the format and everything about that. And, you know, screenplays are told in dialogue, whereas a book, it's, you know, you have to be very specific with the details. But with screenplays, it's told in dialogue. And, you know, I think it was Alfred Hitchcock who said, don't write anything that you can't film. So you have to really be specific about what the characters are doing and the dialogue and the development of the characters. So it's really about that. But how I came up with that was I plan to call it Paris Writing Tools. I'm talking with a few developers now who can write code and do that. But really what I want to do is try to sell it to schools and to school districts and try to have it be a part of the curriculum to teach kids and use of how to write a screenplay, because they don't really teach that in schools, especially in middle school and high school. I think you have to be in college, you have to be at a film school, and then they'll start teaching you about that. But I really want to show, I think it'd be interesting to show kids, hey, here's how to write a movie. Here's how to write a television show. Here's how to write a television commercial.
That's
the plan for it, but we're still in the early process with it.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. It sounds pretty interesting, you know, and I think kids would probably love something like that, you know?
Definitely. I know I probably would have as well.
Yeah, and you're not a kid, but you still love it.
Well, it's debatable.
You know what, Jen? We're all 18 at heart.
I know, right?
Right, right.
Ain't that the truth?
I know. Matthew, I wanted to ask you a little bit. So you've made a couple films yourself, right?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I've written screenplays and they actually won awards and stuff like that, but none of them had gotten really produced. This was early on. This was probably 07, 08, right after I graduated college.
Right.
And then the first one that got produced was a short film. It's called Crisis. And I believe that was 2010. No, actually, I wrote it in 2010, but it wasn't released until 2012. So the process was pretty fast on that. But that movie is basically it's about 19 minutes long. It's about a guy who's in his 30s and he doesn't have a job. He lives at home with his parents and he feels pretty bad about it. He just feels that he's not very productive in society. So what happens is, you know, we have scenes where his friends, he goes out with his high school buddies and his buddies kind of rag on him a little bit about not having a job, but he feels very bad about it. And what happens is that he's thinking about committing suicide, but he calls in, he doesn't have anybody to talk to. So he calls into his favorite radio station for help just to have somebody to talk to.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of goes from there. I don't want to give away the ending, but it kind of goes from there. And I mean, I remember when I sent it to a producer, I was supposed to do a movie working behind the scenes, I think as an assistant director. This is back in 2010. But the movie fell through. We were going to do it in New Orleans, and it just fell through for like a lot of movies do for funding or obvious reasons. But so I called him up, the producer up one day, and I said, hey, I have a script just kind of laying around. Can I send it to you? He said, yeah, go ahead. So I sent it to him. And about 2 days later, he texted me back, and the one word was, wow, we have to meet. We have to meet now. And I said, okay. So I went and had lunch with him. I figured, okay, he's probably going to have notes, developing notes. He's probably going to want to, you know, change a few things. Which ultimately we did end up doing, because in development department, that's what we have to do. But so when I met with him, one of the first things he said was, when do you want to start filming? And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, we have to, which surprised me. So, because I was thinking we have to do the casting, we have to develop this and stuff like that. So we ended up filming, I think, like 3 months later in Austin. But the casting process was interesting, too, because we saw a lot of people. And a lot of these young actors like to really get down into the psychology of the character and, well, you know, what makes this guy tick? And was he, you know, abused? If it's a dark character, was he abused as a kid or something like that? Where I was kind of like, I was trying to look for the person to play the lead who was just like, man, you know, I've been there too and stuff like that. And I did get that. Ken Stahl, the actor who now lives in Dallas,
right.
He emailed me. He had an audition. He did. He put himself on tape. It was a great tape. And then he emailed me. He said, hey, look, Matt, he goes, I really want this part. You know, I've been there too. I have a college degree. I'm working at an office where I'm pretty much stacking shelves. I can relate to this guy.
Yeah.
And that's really what I was looking for. So we casted him, and we were off to the races. And the movie ended up doing well. We had a focus group screening at AMC down here, AMC Barton Creek. And people liked it. And we ended up selling the movie to Shorts International. Uh-huh. And we end up playing over three continents, Europe, Middle East, Africa, and of course the United States on DirecTV and AT&T UVerse.
Well, very, very cool. Yeah,
that's amazing.
I know. And
yeah.
Cool. So this was. Did you get to put it into any festivals and things like that? I know that's where usually short films go to.
Yes, we sent it to World Fest Houston. And we got an award there. We got the Platinum Award there, which is the highest award. I thought, and that was a lot of fun. And, of course, getting an award from Houston, where I'm from, you know, it means a lot to me because that's the city where you were born and raised. So that was huge for me, especially. Yeah, that's a whole other story in itself, Sam. The marketing was interesting, too, because I think as a, you know, most film producers and most filmmakers, every time they film, and it's just what it can.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, you know, those are the two biggest festivals where every filmmaker in the world wants to go to. My explanation to the other producers were, why don't we send it to a smaller festival? Hopefully we can get awards and then build up by that. And, you know, he and I went back and forth on that. But ultimately, you know, I got what I needed from that. And we sent it to a few smaller festivals, World Fest Houston. We sent it to Canada, the Canadian International Film Festival.
Right.
And that was a lot of fun going to Vancouver. They had the award ceremony in a casino and stuff like that. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And we got an award there. And after we got two awards, I kind of thought, okay, now we can send it to distribution companies and hopefully they'll pick up on it.
That's true.
So when I sent it off to a distribution company, I think in Germany, actually, and they got back to me like, a week there, and they said, thank you. Send off to Shorts International and a few other places. And then Shorts International, I think 2 or 3 months went by, and I kind of thought, okay, that's done. And then right when I said that, like 2 days later, the executive emailed me and said, I saw your movie last night. I really like it. We would like to buy it. And here's the contract.
Oh,
so
wow.
it was fun and exciting.
Yeah. Now, I seen the notes. You're working on wrapping up your latest film called The Place That Bonds Us. Tell us a little bit about that one. Is that a full feature or is that also a short?
That is also a short too, Sam. So that movie, we shot that late last year. And, you know, of course, with safety protocols because of COVID and everything.
Yeah.
And we shot that. I'm really excited about that one. We're in post-production on that one. It's coming along nicely. We're trying to cut a trailer together and try to get the poster together for that movie, and that's coming along nicely. But that movie, I'm really excited about that one because I feel like that movie is definitely about today's time. Mm. Often or not, a lot of what's happening in today's time is that we're seeing a lot of, you know, kind of angry people who on social media who, you know, if somebody says something to somebody gets angry and there's a whole, you know, argument going on and, you know, a lot of families have been lost by this. A lot of friendships have been lost by this because, you know, somebody might have said something. So it's really about that. It's about these two friends who grew up, a man and a woman, and they grew up together. And what happens is this woman says something on posted something on social media, and then she gets backlash from it, and she's very hurt by this. And you know, in the opening scene, we see her crying and everything, and she's in the bathroom trying to wipe her tears away. Uh-huh. And then the guy who gave her the biggest grief, our male lead, she contacts him and she says, "I want you to come over." They live in the same town, so she goes, "I want you to come over tomorrow morning." And at first, he doesn't want to do it. And then eventually, he caves in. And he says, "Okay, I'll go over there." Mm-hmm. So he goes over, and they get kind of into an argument again. And she goes, "I'm pretty much telling you know what's going on the whole movie," but she goes, "Hey, you know, let's go somewhere. Let's take a drive." So they take a drive. I won't say what the place is, but they take a drive to a place where they first met as kids and how they really got along and they went through school. And then, you know, they start to kind of rekindle the friendship a little bit. Oh, so it's kind of a sweet drama movie.
Yeah. Sounds pretty cool. When do you think you're going to finish the movie? Because you're doing post-production.
We are post. Say again.
No, you said post now. So when do you expect to mount?
I would say with the sound mixing and music and the editing and stuff like that, I would say sometime in the fall, 2021.
Right.
Excellent.
Very nice. You must be excited about that. You know, I mean, always creating new things is always fun. And you feel a sense of accomplishment, you know. So there you go. You know, you found your place in life, you know.
Love it.
You know what you like to do. So that's pretty cool. Very inspiring, you know. So, Matthew, where can people find out more about you, contact you? Are you on social media? Website, email, anything like that?
Absolutely, Sam. I am on social media. I have a Facebook page, just Matthew Paris. I have an IMDb page. You can look at my work and stuff like that. I've done my work on that one. Most of the time, I don't have an Instagram or anything like that or Twitter, but most of the time you can find me on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That Instagram thing is... Is not for everybody, you know.
Fair.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. I try to kind of maneuver around that.
Yeah, there you go. You know, save yourself a headache and stuff, you know. And it's interesting you wrote about it in your movie and everything, but it's pretty close to reality, you know. People will say just about anything, and regardless whether they're hurting people or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and I call that keyboard courage.
Right.
Keyboard courage, yeah.
Keyboard courage.
Yeah, sitting behind a screen, yeah.
Jen, I absolutely agree with you. Out here in Texas, we call it the keyboard warriors or the keyboard cowboys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There you go. That's what they are. Matt, thank you so much for calling us this morning.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Sam and Jen. I have to give a shout-out to my publicist, TJ Basham.
Okay.
A great guy who helped me connect with you guys. And I had so much fun this morning.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And good luck with the app as well. I think that's a great idea. And
keep us posted about your film coming out.
Yeah. Let us know what's going on.
Absolutely. I will. I definitely will.
All right.
Take care.
Matthew Paris, thank you so much. And all the best to you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye. So, yeah, you know, people do all kinds of interesting things, and it's inspiring, you know. I mean, I like to hear people get into things that are, like, outside their comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's where the actual, as corny as this sounds, like, that's where the right. actual growth happens.
Right.
You know, nothing exciting happens when you're doing the same thing day in and day out.
Right, you know.
At all.
Beginning like ball,
yeah. Or, what do they call that? Stability?
Right.
I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
I like my days to look very different from each other.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. And that's hard to do, you know, if you have a 9-to-5 job. But some people do need the stability. You know, it is nice to have that paycheck every week. But different strokes for different folks, like
it's
they
true.
Say, right?
It's true.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about social media. And I guess Haley Baldwin is quitting Twitter now. Like, it's supposed to be a big deal. But no, I mean, I could relate to this because she said the thought of opening the app gives me bad anxiety, you know. And I know that when I get into If I get into arguments with someone on social media, which I don't do anymore, but I used to.
I could so see that.
Learned to post something and then you really are like stressed out about it. And you go, why did I even bother posting this?
Yeah, totally. Even on TikTok, I'll be scrolling through and I'll see a video and I'll have a comment and then I type it out and I go, eh, never mind. And
yeah, exactly.
Scroll past it.
Exactly.
Because you could say the most innocent thing. Like, you could be like, I really enjoyed this product. And then you'll have people commenting about the packaging and
right.
like, yeah, well, only these kind of people like that thing. And
I know. I know. They'll find everything, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, shit, even in the groups, like on Facebook, I'm in groups for the scale modelers and stuff like that. Even
yeah.
there, people will find like shit to say, you know? Mm. It's like, what the fuck, man? Just relax. You know?
I know.
Be appropriate to whatever the group is, you know?
Yeah.
But people have no problem when people can't see that thing, you know?
Totally.
But...
And there's so many variables, too. Like, people have a bad day or a shitty moment, and then they're on social media, and right. they're just taking it out on other people, or they're miserable, or... I mean, anyone who does that, you can't convince me in any world that anyone who lashes out on... social media is a happy person.
Right. No.
They're not happy.
They're not happy.
They're not happy. You know, like, happy people don't go on the internet and just start bashing people, you know? And I think also because of that bashing, sometimes people who do make comments that aren't bashing, sometimes people take it as bashing because they're so used to people bashing right. that now they're looking at every single comment ready for a fight.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case.
That's true, yeah.
You know, like sometimes I'll say something innocent and then someone will start like attacking my comment. And I was like, no, 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 like that's not what I mean. I'm coming from this place. And they go, oh, okay, I yeah. thought you meant this. And I'm like, yeah, everyone's just assuming the wrong thing.
Exactly, you know. And I think it's especially bad on Twitter, you know. I mean, I'm never on it, but that's what
it.
I hear people saying, you know.
Yeah.
It's like Twitter becomes like this, because people can gang up on you, you know. It's not just for your friends.
Yeah.
You're like announcing to the whole world whatever it is the yeah. fuck you're posting, you know.
I don't know. Twitter's a dead space for me.
Yeah.
Every time I go on, I'm like,
I know, you can't connect
here?
With anybody, you know.
Yeah.
But people swear by it, so what do I know, you know. It gives you the opportunity, though, to be heard by the most people, I think. You know, where Facebook is different, you know.
Facebook is a dead zone, that's why.
Yeah.
It's completely dead.
You think so?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it to me. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot going on there, but...
Yeah.
But no, Facebook is more like a friends of friends and things like that, so...
Yeah.
And you can limit that, I guess, to who sees your shit and stuff
like
that.
It's a smaller community.
Yeah. But, so, but Haley Baldwin, that's the wife of... what's his name?
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
gee, if you could have anybody you'd want in the world, I think Haley would be one of them.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
right.
Fair.
I mean, she's beautiful. I don't know what she's like in real life, but
I think she's probably getting off of there because, I mean, I have no idea. Full disclaimer: I have no clue what the truths are in their relationship, and like news flash to everyone else, no one else knows either as much as they think they know.
Right.
Everyone thinks they're like an expert on all celebrities. No one knows what's going on behind closed doors, but what people are saying in the media are, is that he's really mean to her and, he has like temper tantrums and things like that. So I mean, he has been kind of coming for her
yeah.
about leaving him. And if it is true, it's probably stress because she knows it and she doesn't want to leave him because
right.
they're young and your brain works differently when you're young. You know, you just, maybe even not when you're young, you know, I don't know. I don't get in relationships.
I know you think as a celebrity, you wouldn't settle for just anything because you can have just about anybody you want, you know?
Yeah. But I guess if you fall in love or you think you fall in love, or I don't know if you've been around manipulative people, but manipulative people are really good at what they do.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just get psychologically tricked into something.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like, oh.
Yeah. Plus, we're all human beings, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
We all want to be loved and taken care of and all
yes.
these things. You know?
Like, everyone leave me alone.
Yeah. Yeah, don't love me. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
But yeah, being Justin Bieber, man. I mean, and he got famous, what, from YouTube and shit?
I think so.
Really? What, yeah, he was singing?
He was like 14 or something.
He was singing, right?
Yeah, and wow. Singing and playing guitar.
Wow.
With his little bowl cut.
Yeah, man, he became huge.
Huge, yeah.
He still looks like a 16-year-old boy, right?
He does, but with tattoos. Yeah, he does.
I know. Almost everybody's got tattoos now, you know?
I know.
The younger generation, they all fucking have tattoos.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
The Jewish cemeteries are going to have to change the rules a little bit.
Right, exactly. You know, what are they going to do? Bury everybody outside?
Yeah, right. Well, technically what they do is they cut it off. They'll literally cut out your tattoo.
What?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I never heard about that.
Oh, yeah. They'll cut it right out.
Maybe the very religious people?
Maybe. I don't know.
I can't imagine.
There's got to be some current Jews buried with tattoos.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I think it's only maybe really religious places or people that won't.
Is that a new rule that's come out over the past since the Holocaust? Because I thought, I heard a couple things. I heard that it was an old thing, but I've also heard that Jews aren't supposed to get tattoos because of how we were tattooed in the Holocaust.
You think so? I never even thought about it that way.
That's something that I've heard.
I thought you're not supposed to mark up your body and shit like that, you know, but
yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll check into that. I'll see what that's about, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that they won't bury you if you have tattoos, especially now. Everybody's got one, you know.
I think the rules will have to change with the times.
Yeah. Otherwise, my kids are in deep shit, man. They each have a sleeve.
Oh, wow.
And
just cut the whole arm off at that point.
Yeah, exactly, right? The fuck? I know.
Man.
It's always the people that don't like it that get their kids shoving it in their faces, you know?
Yeah, that's got to be like a reverse psychology thing that happens to the kids. Like, they know how much their parent hates it, and they're like, yeah, probably rebellion. Right. Let me get a tattoo.
I know, and my son's got gauges in his ears. I mean, what the fuck, man?
I had gauges at one time.
Did you?
But I took them out before they got too big. I didn't want my ears to stretch out, and they stink.
Really?
I don't know if you've ever smelled them. Give your son's ear a whiff.
Oh,
next
no,
time.
I won't.
They absolutely stink.
Really?
Yeah, they smell
why,
like...
because it gets dirty and
they
stuff?
They smell like pimples.
I don't know what pimples smell like, but I would never want to know.
They smell really bad. They smell so bad. I remember when I had them, sometimes in the middle of the night, I'd be sleeping. And I'd be sleeping on my arm, and then I'd move my arm and be like...
yeah.
Ugh. Like,
no, I can never say I smelled it on my son, you know?
That's good. I remember, I mean, how old is he?
27.
Yeah, he's a little bit older, so his hygiene's probably better, but I remember being, hooking up with guys who had gauges, and you could just smell them.
Oh my God. That's terrible.
Like dirty musicians. We just never shower to begin with. Not all musicians, like rock musicians mostly.
Other musicians are okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. Well, I don't know. You never know. I think most people are pretty gross to begin with.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
People are gross.
Yeah. So if you're going to have gauges, make sure you can keep up with the sanitation aspect of them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, anything you do, be clean, for crying out loud. I don't know how people can go without being clean, you know?
I know.
It's just unbelievable. This woman gave birth to twins that were conceived 3 weeks apart. In other words, she got pregnant, and 3 weeks later, she got pregnant again. And this doesn't happen very much, but it happened to her. They call it superfetation. I guess from fetal. Superfetation. And
in the same uterus?
Yeah, yeah. So, but it's very rare, obviously. And they're saying that the woman became pregnant. Because supposedly what happens is, I guess when you get pregnant, you stop ovulating and stuff, but she kept ovulating and got pregnant again. So what happened was they discovered another fetus in there that was like 3 weeks younger than the other one. So I guess she finally gave birth. And
also, how do you continue to ovulate?
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of like weird.
Was she getting a period? Like, how
well, did that
but
that's
happen?
The thing is that it usually happens to people in fertility things, right?
Was she doing?
Yeah,
fertility?
She was.
Okay.
Yeah, she was
that
doing
makes more
that.
Sense.
Yeah,
Yikes. Yeah. All right. So I guess that had to be a C-section.
Probably. You think?
Yeah. So it's like they're not twins, technically.
That's true, right? They're not twins. They're not from the same egg or the same sperm.
No, they're just siblings.
Yeah. Right. Isn't that weird, though?
Imagine having to explain that the rest of your life.
Yeah, right? We're twins, but not really.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very unusual. But that's the thing. When they start playing around with your body, with the fertility medicine and the procedures and everything, it creates weird things, like, you know, really older women having kids and things like that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, isn't that how, remember that show John and Kate Plus Eight?
Yeah.
Hadn't she gone to fertility clinics and then she ended up?
I don't know. I never watched it, but I imagined that she did.
Yeah. Can you imagine? You're like just trying to have one and then you have eight. And be like, no.
Did she have them all at the same time?
I don't remember, but it was very close.
Yeah. No. I know, because some people do have several of them.
No, thank you.
You'll pass.
No, I'll definitely pass. I can't wait for them to be able to have children, like babies grow in incubation tanks so that you don't have to be pregnant.
So you don't have to carry them.
That's great.
But some women think it's the best thing ever to be pregnant.
Yeah, you know? Why? So every you can pee every time you cough? Is that why? Like,
well, you're looking at it in the negative light, I think, you know?
Yeah, but like, come on. You've one kid and now you like pee every time you cough.
Right.
And like, I've heard of some women having to like, well, that's probably graphic for this. Yeah, just like a lot of issues.
Yeah. Oh, well. I mean, women like it while they're pregnant, you know, I don't know about afterwards. Yes. But
I don't know. Maybe like the first 6 months.
Yeah.
Cool, that's fine. Then they can go ahead and take it out and finish the incubation somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Well, maybe we shouldn't listen to you. You're not crazy about these things anyway, right?
Nobody wants the full... Nobody wants to be in their, like, ninth month. Nobody wants that. By that point, everyone's cramping. Their, like, hips are widening. It's like, everything hurts. Your feet are bloated. They change size.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Absolutely not.
So I guess we're not expecting kids from you, right?
I mean, maybe. It's very undecided. I'm always like, well. And then I'm like, no. No, like, well.
Depends. Yeah. Look, once you marry somebody and stuff like that, you guys will probably want to do it, you know?
Maybe.
I mean, if you have the inkling for it, if you don't have any interest in it, that's another thing.
On the fence.
You're not definitely against kids, you know, which... My daughter can't stand kids.
Yeah, I don't love kids. She's probably not gonna have one. I like certain kids.
Yeah.
I hate when people are like, I love all kids. And I'm like, how can you like all kids? How can you like them all? Like, they're covered in boogers. Like, they literally will just, like, hold a wet, spit-filled cookie in their hand all day. Like, the back of your car is a mess. They're mean to each other. They, like, have no control over themselves. Like, how can people, I just don't get when people say they love all kids.
Yeah. Well, like, when it's yours, it's different. You know?
Exactly. Like, you like certain kids.
Right.
You don't like all kids. Yeah. You don't.
Well, we hope the people that take care of our kids in school and kindergarten and stuff, we should hope they like kids, like all kids.
I guess.
Or deep shit, you know?
Well.
If they don't like all the kids. Oh, well. All right, so.
Is that it?
Yeah. There were a few other things, but everything is going to start a long conversation. We don't have time for that. So with that said, we are going to be here Monday, right?
Monday, yeah.
We'll be here Monday, folks. Even if it's Easter Monday, we're here to serve you and your listening needs at any point.
I'm bringing the Cadbury eggs.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And you're going to have a friend calling in?
I am. It's it's one of my really good friend Valentina's. It's my really good friend Valentina's sister. She does all these like handmade bags. They're from Colombia. It's a woman-owned business. It's really cool. The bags are beautiful. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk to her. Anyway, everybody have a great weekend. Try to stay out of trouble, and
Get into trouble.
Yeah.
You know, get arrested. Whatever. Have a good weekend.
Yeah. All right, Jen, you too have a great weekend.
You too.
And see you Monday.
See you Monday.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.